Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. To look further at the confusion over the last paragraph. So we'll just pass over it for now. I'll read the commentary to 92.6. When the elements of creation first evolved from the pradana, primeval material nature, who had been impregnated by the glance of Lord Mahavishnu. There's several devotees that are usually here that are right now. Shri Krishna is not here. Yes, ma'am. He's sick, okay, Shri Krishna is sick. When the elements of the creation first evolved from the pradana, primeval material nature, who had been impregnated by the glance of Lord Mahavishnu, they were unable on their own to interact with one another for creating the visible forms of matter and life. The second Purusha, Lord Garbhodaka Shayi, within the egg of the universe, resolved this problem for the presiding demigods of the elements. Okay, the problem is, elements are there, deities are presiding over them, but they're supposed to combine to make things in the universe, and elements have to combine. They don't know how to do it. So Lord Garbhodaka Vishnu comes to their help. This is described Sri Vishnu Purana, first canto, second chapter. Nana viryat pritad bhutas tatas te samhatim vina na shaknuvat prajat srashtu asanamai asamagama asamagamya krishna shaha samityan yonya samyogam parasparasamashraya ekasam bhata lakshyascha samprapyaikyam asheshatah purushadishtitatvatcha pradana nukrahenacha mahadadhyā visheshanta hyandam utpadayati te. I think it should be utpadayati. I'll check. That we can check with the Vishnu Purana. Utpadayati. Okay, continuing. Translation. The elements had different potencies and were situated separately from one another. Thus, without some means of combining, they could not cooperate to create all the species of life. But when, by the Purushas entering within them, and with additional help of the Pradana, they could assume an amalgamated form and become altogether one in function, they became able to generate the egg of the universe, including everything from the Mahatattva to the forms of all individual beings. The Mahat, ego, and all the other elements evolved from them are dead matter, incapable of any action. They each have demigods controlling them, devoted servants of the Supreme Lord, empowered by him to give the material elements movement and semblance of life. But in the beginning of creation, these presiding deities also could not work together effectively without the Lord's further empowerment. In answer to the prayers they submitted to him, Lord Garbhodakshayi Vishnu personally entered the elements and enacted a process of combination called Panchikarana, or Prapancha. He extracted one quarter of the stock of each of the five physical elements, earth, water, air, fire, and ether, took one quarter of each of them, and distributed one quarter of each quarter to each of the other four elements. He took out 25% of the earth, divided that up into four parts, and gave each one of those four parts to each of the four other elements. Then he did this with each of the other elements. Each element containing now a fraction of each other element, they were able to interact. Okay? As a general rule, a soul gives life to its otherwise dead body. Brahman, the supreme soul, gives life to the material universe and to all the bodies of creatures within it. As related in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord showed himself to his son Brahma in his form of ultimate truth. Ritam, the word is Ritam, that was used in the 2-9 something. Darshayan Atmano Rupam, Ritam. To enlighten Brahma about the true nature of the living soul in every body. In the 4-verse summary of the Bhagavatam, spoken to Brahma in the 9th chapter of the 2nd canto, the Lord identified himself as the source of all creation, apart from whom nothing real exists. Only false conceptions can stand separated from him. Underlying the real creation of the material world is Ritta, the divine unifying order given by the Lord. The total creation is ruled by this Ritta, and each soul within the universe has his own dharma. Individual duty by which he is meant to participate in the complete order. Okay, one more paragraph. The Taittiriya Upanishad calls the Supreme Ananda. Ananda and also Akash. Okay, he calls the Supreme Ananda ecstasy and also Akash, the sky. The Supreme is, of course, more than just both of these, but the terms serve to partially indicate his glories, ecstasy and sky. The Supreme is more than just that. He is the Supreme Sky, or to say it less poetically, he is the Supreme from whom emanates the spiritual sky in which he resides. The ordinary sky known in the material world is an inert element with no potential for ananda. Okay, the regular sky doesn't have any ananda, it's not conscious. Okay, any comments, questions?
The first paragraph of the commentary, the elements of the creation first evolved from the pradhana, etc. They were unable on their own to interact with one another for creating civil forms.
Yes.
And then, contrast to this, we Further, I concluded that the material elements, they are dead matter, they are no life.
Yes.
So is that the elements, the initial elements have the potency of themselves to create something? If the Lord entered, then what they could?
Okay, you understand this, that also there are the demigods who control those elements.
Yeah.
They were also present.
Yeah.
It's the demigods who couldn't do anything. You don't expect the dead elements too much. But when the elements were evolved from the pradhan, they were endowed with various potencies, potential. It still takes a living force, a living being, to activate that potential. But the machine, the matter has some potential.
Mm-hmm.
When moved by a living being, conscious and intelligence, it will act.
Mm-hmm.
So there is potential in each of those elements from their very evolution. And those potencies originally were there in the pradhan, even before they were manifest. But as far as, fire has potency to eat, water has potency to moisten. But for the two of them to get together and make a complex organic chemical, fire and water, that takes more intelligence than the elements or even their own demigods have. It also requires that there's some mixing up of the elements before they can combine. Because they're different. They don't match up. The atoms of each element are different, they don't naturally combine. Although when you mix up some percentage of the other elements into each element, can they combine?
Panchikarana, some measurement is given in the machine. Panchikarana, some measurement is given in that way. What the problem part is, I didn't understand.
Well, it's a mathematical thing. Should we draw a diagram? Okay. Okay. Why don't you go to the board, and I'll tell you what to draw. Do this. We don't have to use colored pens, they're too complicated, but you can erase to make it look good. Draw five circles. Those are the five gross elements. Not a bigger, you're going to have to divide them up. That's why I thought you could erase. Do it underneath the first. Five big circles.
Yeah,
use all the space below. Let's make five big circles. No, big, yeah. Yeah, like that. Well, you have to make a different size.
One on top?
Okay, make one on top. Now, we have to mix them up. But what's the right proportion to mix up? The proportion is divide each of them in four parts. Divide each one of those circles into quarters. These are the stocks, total stocks of all. No. Like pizza pie. Yeah. Yeah. This is the universal pizza. Each one gets divided up into four parts, four quarters, equal quarters. Now each one is going to lose one quarter. Each one's going to have one quarter taken away. So what you can do is shade it out. Or just put hatch marks through it. Actually, a fancy way to do it is to have different hatch marks for each element, but that's complicated. Now, what happens now? That's how much has been removed by Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu from each element, from the stock, 25% of the stock taken away. Then he cuts up. Now, you take one of those, you don't have to draw it now. We can just visualize it now, in our mind. You don't have to draw anything else. But, in fact, you can even sit down. Oh, you erased it. Okay, anyway, I thought we could just think about it. I don't think we have to draw any more pictures. That's enough. If you see that, that will help us visualize it. So please, have a seat and I'll explain the rest. So you take one of those segments, one of those quarters. You take actually each one of those quarters from each of the five elements. You got five of them now. And you divide each one of them up into four pieces, which will be 1/16 of the total stock of each element. Now you got four shares of each element. You give, and there's that element and four other elements. So you give one of those slivers, 1/16, to each of the other four elements. Because now each of them is missing a chunk, like one quarter. But if you give 1/16th of each of the other four elements, that'll make up the missing part. It'll have 1/16th of each other element now mixed into it. You got that?
When I came, I missed the first point.
Which part? You understand, we took away 25% of each one.
Yeah.
Now take that 25% and cut that into four.
Okay.
Equally. Yeah. Then you get 1/16th total stock of each element has been taken away.
Yeah.
Well, 4/16ths, but we got four separate 16ths now cut up into pieces. Yeah. So that gives you, now mix them up. Take one of, you got five different stocks. Okay. Anyway, from the first element, Earth, you took away a quarter. You divided the quarter into quarters, so now there's 16ths. Now take each one of those 16ths and give it each one to one of the other four elements. And do that now with each of the other four elements. Everything will be sorted out so that each element is now 1/16th included. 1/16th of every other element is included in each element now. That's Panchikaran, because it's mixing up the five. Now, because the earth has some water in it, it can mix with water, and vice versa. It's just, sharing out atoms. So everybody's got some of somebody else's atoms. Yes?
Those five elements, water, fire, air, they're like what we see in here, or it's more subtle than things?
In their original form, you can't see them. Until the elements do combine, you don't see anything. Unless you're Lord Brahma or some great yogi. You don't see the bare elements, you only see the things made out of them. Ordinary people do. So, you can say it's more subtle. This is made out of earth, water, air, whatever, fire, this computer. I can see it, but I can't see the original earth, water, fire, and air that it was made out of. They're more subtle. Until they combine, no ordinary people can't see anything. Anyway, seeing is a physical process that involves the eyes, that involves chemical and physical processes in the body that require a combination of the elements. Eyes operate with a combination of elements. You can't see just fire, not with these eyes. With the yogi eyes, maybe. The yogi can see. Okay. Yes.
About this creation soul, does it mix in any way with the material body?
Which?
Creation soul.
Does it mix? You mean cut it up into pieces? No, are you talking about spirit soul mixing in the body?
Yeah, I mean that that consciousness is related to the body, therefore body is alive. So it looks like there's some sort of spiritual particle that's in.
But that spiritual particle doesn't itself stretch out. It's not an amoeba that stretches out. The soul doesn't stretch. Its consciousness expands. So it must be the consciousness like a radiation that comes from the soul. The soul is still teeny-weeny, much smaller than the body. But it emanates, it radiates this consciousness, reflected consciousness, that manages to pervade the whole body. It knows the whole body. Basically, it knows the whole body. It just means that sensations are going back to the soul through these organs of perception and the nerves and the brain. Sensations are collected and sent back to the soul through the mind. But the soul is still a little tiny particle in there. The soul hasn't stretched out. Just the apparatus of senses and organs have collected the perceptions for the soul and brought them back to the soul. That's how consciousness expands in the body. It's all dead matter, but the consciousness is sitting in the soul, in the tiny soul. There's no consciousness outside the soul. But consciousness manages to do its work outside the soul through the sensations that are provided by the senses. And also consciousness dictates. You know, my consciousness dictates move the finger, and the body manages to move the finger on that order. But the consciousness itself doesn't leave the soul, doesn't extend outside the soul.
I just tend to listen from the words of the soul that there are also presented vehicles in our body, both material and different.
Right.
And different reactions and so on. So there's a thing that soul just desires, and then because of the desire of the soul, the soul reach out with desires, and then gives the orders to the
vehicles. Somehow the soul controls matter. You know, the demigods know much better than us how that works. That's their department. How spirit controls matter. It just happens to us. It happens. We don't know how it works. But matter has to extend itself through space and time to do its work. You know, matter has to move in space to make things happen, usually, right? You know, to see, the light has to travel from the object of perception. Light ray has to travel from the door over there or the tulsi plant so that I can see it. But there's no traveling of consciousness. That's all inside the soul. All that's traveling is whatever physical thing it is, you know, photons or particles that are of light that are coming to my eye. Consciousness doesn't travel through space. But it's a process, you know, how, the other way around, how one thing receiving perceptive, the other thing is the soul making matter move. Like, I want to move my hand. How does that happen? I think only demigods can understand the actual process, how the soul moves matter. But it's really matter that's doing all the moving. The soul is just making it happen from its, you know, control panel inside. Yes?
Also the same to you. You know that the soul is called Kshetrakya, one of those...
Known as the field.
Yes. And usually we understand that this field here is limited by the long, only by one body, which is the body.
Yes.
And then we can see such a tricks or different mystic symbols which can influence others' minds or read doors and so on, so do some particular things. So it looks like that they can somehow extend the skills of physics or from the
But we do extend. Normally we extend. Consciousness doesn't stop at the skin. Because we have holes in the skin. And we're able to see. We can see through our eyes here, through our ears. So through those holes, we get perceptions from outside. The sense organs are bringing in some perception from outside. And also our active senses are acting on the outside. So the effects of consciousness do extend beyond the body, but that's on a different level. We know the outside world as much as our senses allow us to, but we know our own body internally. And you can affect another person. You don't have to be a mystic yogi. Someone's not paying attention. You walk up to them and, you know, make a lot of noise. You scare them. That's affecting someone else's consciousness from outside. A yogi just can do it much more thoroughly. He can, you know, it seems like it goes right into your brain and knows exactly what you're thinking. But it's just, you know, a more elevated, more thorough process, just like ordinary, affecting other people's consciousness by doing things. Yes?
Maybe the same way as the super soul understands our desires and gives some orders to the demigods to control our body,
yes,
to work in our body. So maybe in the same way, and then they become some antipathic modification and also desires to control ordinary entities. Same super soul can give an order to the demigods to fulfill our desires. Is it
Yeah, okay, you can say that everything the demigods manage to do, they're doing by the power of the super soul. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Next paragraph. Prakarane smin, etan uktam bhavati. In this context, the following is being said. Being said by, I guess by this passage of the Vishnu Purana. Looks like, okay, in the, no, that Vishnu Purana was something I quoted. I see, okay. We're still talking about the verse from the Prayers of Personified Vedas. So going back, what we're talking about goes back to 92.5. That I'll read the verse again in English. Only if they become your faithful followers are those who breathe actually alive. Otherwise their breathing is like that of a bellows. It is by your mercy alone that the elements, beginning with the Mahatattva and false ego, create the egg of this universe. Among the manifestations known as Anamaya and so forth, you are the ultimate one, entering within the material coverings along with the living entity and assuming the same forms as those that this living entity takes. Distinct from the gross and subtle material manifestations, you are the reality underlying them all. So we're still discussing that verse. And now, Jiva Goswami says, in this context, the following is being said. Yadyapi ekasurupe pi, this is fate, it's like cutting off, but going back on. Is someone on sitting on top of the wire? Yadyapi. Okay, needs to be charged. Okay, I can manage. I can manage without it. Yadyapi ekasurupepi vastudi swagata nana vishesho vidyate tatapi tadrisha shakti yuktaya evadrishtes tat tat sarva vishesha grahane nimitata drishyate natva anyasyaha. Although the reality is one in essence and has varieties of particular qualities within himself, nonetheless we see that only vision imbued with similar potency can lead to perception of all his particular characteristics, not any other vision. Okay, it's one thing to know theoretically, or to say theoretically, that the Supreme has got potencies. It's another thing to be able to know or perceive those potencies. You've got to have special vision to see that, special power. Not anybody, you can talk about it theoretically, but not anybody can actually see the potencies of the Supreme Person. Yata mamsa mayi drishti surya mandalam prakasha matra tvena grinati divya tu prakasha matra surupa tve pi tarantar gata divya sabadikam grinati. Okay, the same way as one's eyes of flesh perceive the globe of the sun only as light, while divine eyes perceive the divine assembly halls and so on that are present within the sun. Eva matra, bhaktir, eva, samyak tvena tayaiva samyak tattvam drishyate. The same, similarly, so also, in this context, only when bhakti is proper and complete can the complete truth be seen. Tatcha bhagavan evaiti tasyaiva samyak rupatvam. That truth, moreover, is the personality of Godhead. Gyanasya tu asamyak tvena darshita tvat tena samyak eva tadrishyate tacha brahmeti tasya asamyag rupatvam. But when knowledge is revealed incompletely, the personality of Godhead is seen incompletely. And that is Brahman. Tatracha, excuse me. Oh, Krishna. Tatracha samanya twenaiva grahani ekakarasya gyanasya tadantarina avantara beda pariyalochaneshu asamartyat bahir evastitatena tena bhagavata paramahamsa vridanu bhava siddhanana prakasha vichitratve p Swaprakasha lakshana paratatve prakasha samanya matram yad grihyate tat tasya prabha rupatvain opreksyate. Because the knowledge which causes such unspecific perception is incapable of discerning Brahman's internally differentiated varieties, it keeps to an external position and only perceives the general luminosity in the self-manifest Supreme Truth, whose multiple varieties of manifestations are nonetheless proven by the experience of the entire community of perfected devotees of the Lord. Perfect Vaishnavas know the Supreme as the personality of Godhead, but those who have inferior vision, they can't discern the varieties, so their vision stays on the outside. They don't see the real inside of the truth. So what they're seeing is the outside, and therefore it's metaphorically defined as the effulgence of the Supreme Lord's body. Brahman is not just, you know, some sunlight, but it's called the light of the effulgence of the body. Because those who are seeing only Brahman impersonally are only seeing Krishna on the outside. But he says, utrekshite. That's not literally exactly what Brahman is, just this light. It is Krishna. Krishna is not just a light. But that's all the Brahman realized people see, is the light, the outside. Just like if there's something that's very brilliant, very luminous, it's got a personal shape, it's got an actual shape, but if it's so luminous, then it blinds us, and all we see is a glare of light. Tatascha ganatvam amshatvam vibhutitvam cha vyapadishyate tasya. Thus Brahman is described as not a full embodiment, but only partial, a mere expansion. So this maybe clarifies. Brahman is not part. Brahman is not 20 or 30% of Krishna. It's all of Krishna. It's not part in the sense that something's not there. But it's part in the sense that those who see only impersonal Brahman, they don't see the whole picture. It's not an expansion. It's the original. But it's called Vibhuti and Amsha, because it's an incomplete realization, Brahman realization. Let me try the commentary. In the prayer cited above, the personified Vedas contrast the partial vision that sees Brahman with the perfect vision that sees Bhagavan. In either aspect, the Supreme is complete. But a finite soul needs the grace of special power to see his completeness. The jiva needs the shelter and empowerment of the Supreme Lord's Swarupa Shakti, his divine higher energy. A typical soul in the material environment has been under the sway of inferior energy for a long time. Countless lifetimes. He needs to give up this entanglement and retune himself to the higher energy. For the sake of easier understanding, Srila Jiva Goswami compares the highest vision attuned to the personal variety of Bhagavan with the relatively superior vision bestowed by demigods on their worshippers. This Divya Drishti is more potent, just like you worship some demigod, he gives you some Divya Drishti, some divine power to see, he or she. This Divya Drishti is more potent than the sensory power built into an ordinary material body, Mangsamayi, because it originates in empowerment from above. An astrologer, for example, requires inspiration from demigods to be able to discern what is not seen with common intelligence. And on a wholly different level is the transcendental potency of devotional service, by which a faithful servant of the Supreme Lord can see him in his personal glory. As used here, the term jnana means impersonal knowledge as opposed to the experience of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Because jnana can be used in a devotional context. We're talking about impersonal jnana here. Bhakti is also a kind of knowledge, but it is specifically knowledge of the wonderful qualities of the personality of Godhead. And it is ecstatic, empowered by his supreme pleasure potency. The most fortunate souls, the Bhagavata Paramahamsas, have this empowerment of the Lord's Gladini Shakti. Although they are fully liberated, they are not independent, nor do they want to be independent. They are absolutely dependent on their director, the Lord's pleasure potency. Okay, comments? Are you looking at the translation or the commentary?
Translation. There is a comparison of Deva Goswami gives of seeing the sun.
Yeah.
By which he has received Asamya Hall, etc. But there is on the fifth line, so on Prasad Vitadish, and there is a comma, even though the sun is in essence only light.
You mean the assembly halls are not real? I'm looking.
Is it something like comparing Brahman is in essence light?
Well, did you, okay. That's confusing, but what it's supposed to mean, the way it's said is a little confusing. It doesn't mean that there are no assembly halls and no people inside. But those people are made out of light. The sun is pure light. There's no earth, water, fire in it. That's what we mean it's only light. It's only higher energy. There's no inferior, there's no grosser energy in the sun. Or the sun is pure light. It's not mixed, it's not a mixture of other elements. It's pure. Like that, the absolute truth is one without a second. Absolute truth is only one. There's no parts in it. But there is variety. There's no separate parts, but there is variety. So you're looking in the sun, you're thinking, oh, you know, there's something else here. There's a building with people in it, and these people flying around on chariots. I thought the sun was a fiery ball of light. It looks like it's just like, it's a city, just like, Calcutta or New York. But you're wrong, it is not an earthly place, it's just light. But on that level, it has its own kind of variety. That's the idea, but I think when I say just the words, even though the sun is in essence only light, it seems contradictory. It seems like, we see the divine assembly halls, but they're not really there. There's only light. Yeah. Well, I can't write a commentary in the middle of the translation. I can't do much with the translation. I have to translate the words that are there. But in the commentary, I can try to explain it further. This, I have to make a note. This can be misunderstood to say that the assembly halls and so on aren't real. Okay, I'll try to straighten it out, but in the commentary, yes.
And
does. Let me look at the Sanskrit and see if he's actually using the word Brahman here. Okay, I can change it. I can make that the Supreme, so how's that? I'll change incapable of discerning the Supreme's internally differentiated variety, so I don't use the word Brahman. That we just used to mean only the impersonal part. Okay? Actually, the noun is not there in the Sanskrit. I'm filling in the words that they just imply. So it doesn't have to be Brahman. I can make the Supremes. Brahman is thus in complete form of the truth. Because the knowledge which causes such unspecific perception is incapable of discerning the Supreme's internally differentiated variety. Okay? I fixed it.
I want to ask one more.
Yeah.
Like we are reading this Sandarbha, a lot of discussion on Brahman is coming. So here we are also related, it's a metaphoric say that the Brahman is a light of Raghu, which is state of mention.
Yeah.
So now we are seeing here that Brahman is also Krishna, but we don't have the power to see its varieties. That's why it is.
Well, we, what do you mean, we? Impersonalists don't have the power. Devotees should.
Yeah.
Devotees should have the power.
Okay, yeah.
So when devotees look at the impersonal feature, they're seeing something different than impersonalists see.
Okay.
They're seeing that here's the shine, this is the shine on Krishna's body. They're not seeing just light, they're seeing this is Krishna's effulgence. So they're seeing it as Krishna.
So why is it metaphorically given that it's light of Krishna, but actually it's Krishna only?
Well, he says that. I have to, he says, Uprekshate. Well, let me, can I add something? I mean, I'll add something in the commentary. That it's Uprekshate. It's metaphor in the sense that it's not just light. Brahman is not just light. It is light. The light is Brahman. But Brahman is more than that. So it's not that it isn't the light, but it isn't only the light. Not only light. You see, because it's a supreme. It creates the universe. I don't create a universe by turning on a light bulb. Light doesn't create universe by itself. There's something more to Brahman if it can create everything than just being light, effulgence. Effulgence doesn't do that. So it's more than just light.
So metaphorically described by whom? By the scriptures?
Yes, Prabha, by the Brahma Samhita, by many, many, many descriptions. This is the effulgence of Krishna. Let's understand metaphorically because it's more than that. It's not only light.
The metaphor is a word that at least I don't mind. In English we understand
Well, okay.
And then something like...
Maybe, okay, well, I'll tell you. There's something more, more specific about this. Because it's, the term is upreksha. Upreksha is something beyond a metaphor. I think the proper definition is when you say, not that the... It's like this. It's what you call hyperbole. No, upreksha technically in poetry means... A metaphor is that face is the moon. Simile is that face is like the moon. Technically, upreksha, the figure of speech, means is that a face or the moon? Perhaps that's the moon. It's a different kind of, a different way of saying it, but it's still a kind of metaphor. Is this in Sanskrit? Yes? No, rupaka is technically a metaphor. That face is the moon. But, you know, is that really a face or is it the moon? That's upreksha. It's sort of conjecture. You know, what do we have here? It's a big light. This absolute truth must be a great light. It's a conjecture. That's upreksha. So people conjecture that what Brahman is light, because that's all they see. That's upreksha. It's like conjecture, hyperbolic conjecture. Guessing that something is something else. Yes? But that prayer is addressed to Brahman?
No.
It's actually a prayer addressed to Purusham. It's to the Purusha, Purusham. So the person who's saying that prayer actually realizes that Brahman is really Purusha. Yeah, he has a higher realization. He knows he's actually talking to a person, therefore he's offering a prayer. Yes. 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 But it looks like the Gyanamishra Bhaktas can do that. Even with Gyanamishra Bhakti, you can develop the intelligence to know that you're supposed to ask for that mercy. So that's a real step forward, that you're even asking for the Supreme's mercy. Yes? Yes. But to the extent that you realize it's not all under your power, then you're practicing Jnana Mishra Bhakti, or Bhakti Mishra Jnana, and then the Bhakti becomes prominent and becomes Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Then you can really accomplish something. Still, we don't promote Jnana Mishra Bhakti in this movement. Lord Chaitanya doesn't promote it, so he's not satisfied with it. You want to practice Jnana Mishra Bhakti, you'll have to go to one of the other sampradayas. Okay, we're some more or less out of time. So, unless you have another comment?
No.
Pointing to the time. Okay, so we'll stop now. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Could I get the morning?